Om Jnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Dhena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Narayanam Namaskritya
Naram
Chaiva Narottamam
Devim
Sarasatim Vyasam Tato Jaya Udiraye.
Beginning our Kartik Vrat here at Govardhan Hill 2017 at the Bhaktivedanta Ashram, presided over by His Holiness Keshav Bharati Das Goswami Maharaj and Asi Krishna Maharaj. All those in attendance have agreed to surrender their lives to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, especially through the process of oral reception of the transcendental sound vibration from the Srimad Bhagavatam. We will begin by reciting prayers from Srila Sanatan Goswami, glorifying the Srimad Bhagavatam. And we'll do it really nice and slow so everyone can follow.
Sarva Shastra Vidhiyusha Sarva Vedaika Satpala Sarva Siddhanta Ratnadya Sarva Lokaika Driprada.
O nectar from the ocean of all scriptures, singular fruit of all the Vedas, rich mind of the precious gems of all conclusive truths, you are the only giver of light to all the worlds.
Sarva Bhagavata Prana Srimad Bhagavata Prabho Kali Dvanto Aditya Sri Krishna Parivartita.
O life heir of all the Supreme Lord's devotees, O Master Srimad Bhagavatam, you are the sun risen in the darkness of Kali, you are the exact image of Sri Krishna.
Paramananda Pataya Prema Varsya Charayate Sarvada Sarvasevyaya Sri Krishnaya Namostute.
I bow down to you who are supremely blissful to read. Your every syllable pours down a flood of prema. You can always be served by everyone. You are Sri Krishna himself.
Madhika Bandhu Mat Sangin Mat Guru Mat Mahatana Manistaraka Mat Bhagya Mat Ananda Namostute.
My only friend, my constant companion, my spiritual master, my great wealth, my savior, my good fortune, my source of ecstasy, I bow down to you.
Sadhu Sadhuta Dayin Adini chochatakara Hana uncha kadachin mam Premna rit kantayos pura.
O bestower of saintliness to the unsaintly, O exalter of the most fallen, please never leave me. Always appear in my heart and my voice with pure love. We're taking up with the Srimad Bhagavatam. Canto 3, starting with the preface. We must know the present need of human society, and what is that need? Human society is no longer bounded by geographical limits to particular countries or communities. Human society is broader than in the Middle Ages, and the world tendency is toward one state or one human society. The ideals of spiritual communism, according to Srimad Bhagavatam, are based more or less on the oneness of the entire human society, nay, on the entire energy of living beings. The need is felt by great thinkers to make this a successful ideology. Srimad Bhagavatam will fill this need in human society. It begins, therefore, with an aphorism of Vedanta philosophy, Janmad Yasayataha, to establish the ideal of a common cause. Human society at the present moment is not in the darkness of oblivion. it has made rapid progress in the fields of material comforts, education, and economic development throughout the entire world. But there is a pinprick somewhere in the social body at large, and therefore there are large-scale quarrels, even over less important issues. There is need of a clue as to how humanity can become one in peace, friendship, and prosperity with a common cause. Srimad Bhagavatam will fill this need, for it is a cultural presentation for the re-spiritualization of the entire human society. Srimad Bhagavatam should be introduced also in the schools and colleges, for it is recommended by the great student devotee, Prahlad Maharaj, in order to change the demoniac face of society. Komara acharet ragno dharman bhagavataniha durlabham manusham janma tarapya dhruvamartadam. Disparity in human society is due to lack of principles in a godless civilization. There is God, or the Almighty One, from whom everything emanates, by whom everything is maintained, and in whom everything is merged to rest. Material science has tried to find the ultimate source of creation very insufficiently, but it is a fact that there is one ultimate source of everything that be. This ultimate source is explained rationally and authoritatively in the beautiful Bhagavatam of Srimad Bhagavatam. Please answer. Preface. Okay, I can keep going.
You just finish the preface. No?
Srimad Bhagavatam is the transcendental science, not only for knowing the ultimate source of everything, but also for knowing our relation with Him and our duty toward perfection of the human society on the basis of this perfect knowledge. It is powerful reading matter in the Sanskrit language, and it is now rendered into English elaborately, so that simply by a careful reading, one will know God perfectly well, so much so that the reader will be sufficiently educated to defend himself from the onslaught of atheists. Over and above this, the reader will be able to convert others to accepting God as a concrete principle. Srimad Bhagavatam begins with the definition of the ultimate source. It is a bona fide commentary on the Vedanta Sutra by the same author, Srila Vyasadeva, and gradually it develops into 9 cantos up to the highest state of God-realization. The only qualification one needs to study this great book of transcendental knowledge is to proceed step by step cautiously and not jump forward haphazardly as with an ordinary book. It should be gone through chapter by chapter, one after another. The reading matter is so arranged with the original Sanskrit text, its English transliteration, synonyms, translation, and purports, so that one is sure to become a God-realized soul at the end of finishing the first 9 cantos. The 10th canto is distinct from the first 9 cantos because it deals directly with the transcendental activities of the personality of God as Sri Krishna. One will be unable to capture the effects of the 10th canto without going through the first 9 cantos. The book is complete in 12 cantos, each independent, but it is good for all to read them in small installments, one after another. I must admit my frailties in presenting Srimad Bhagavatam, but still I am hopeful of its good reception by the thinkers and leaders of society on the strength of the following statement of Srimad Bhagavatam 1.5.11. Todvag visargo janatabha viplavo yasmin prati shlokam apadyabhatyapi namanyanantashye shankitani yat Shinvanti Gayanti Grananti Sadhava. On the other hand, that literature which is full of descriptions of the transcendental glories of the name, fame, form, and pastimes of the unlimited Supreme Lord is a transcendental creation meant for bringing about a revolution in the impious life of a misdirected civilization. Such transcendental literature, even though irregularly composed, is heard, sung, and accepted by purified men who are thoroughly honest. Om Tat Sat, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami.
Canto 3, Chapter 1. Text 1. Shukadeva Goswami said, after renouncing his prosperous home and entering the forest, King Vidura, the great devotee, asked this question of his grace, Maitreya Rishi. What else is there to say about the residential house of the Pandavas? Sri Krishna, the Lord of everything, acted as your minister. He used to enter that house as if it were his own, and he did not take any care of Duryodhana's house. Purport. According to the Gaudiya, Achintya, Vedha, Veda, Tattva philosophy, anything which satisfies the senses of the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna, is also Sri Krishna. For example, Sri Vrindavan Dham is not different from Sri Krishna, Tattama Vrindavanam. Because of Vrindavan, the Lord enjoys the transcendental bliss of his internal potency. Similarly, the house of the Pandavas was also the source of transcendental bliss for the Lord. It is mentioned here that the Lord identified the house with his own self. Thus the house of the Pandavas was as good as Vrindavan. And Vidura should not have given up that place of transcendental bliss. Therefore the reason for his quitting the house was not exactly family misunderstanding. Rather, Vidura took the opportunity to meet Rishi Maitreya and discuss transcendental knowledge. For a saintly person like Vidura, any disturbance due to worldly affairs is insignificant. Such disturbances, however, are sometimes favorable for higher realization. Therefore, Vidura took advantage of a family misunderstanding in order to meet Maitreya Rishi. Text 3. The king asked Shrimadeva Goswami, where and when did the meeting and discussion take place between Saint Vidura and His Grace, Maitreya Muni? Kindly oblige, my lord, and describe this to us. Purport. Exactly as Shonaka Rishi inquired of Sutta Goswami, and Sutta Goswami replied, so Srila Shukadeva Goswami replied to King Pariksit's inquiries. The king was very anxious to understand the meaningful discussion that took place between the two great souls. Text 4. Saint Vidura was a great and pure devotee of the Lord, and therefore his questions to His Grace Rishi Maitreya must have been very purposeful on the highest level and approved by learned circles. Purport. Questions and answers among different classes of men have different values. Inquiries by mercantile men in business exchange cannot be expected to be highly purposeful in spiritual values. Questions and answers by different classes of men can be guessed by the caliber of the persons concerned. In Bhagavad Gita, the discussion was between Lord Sri Krishna and Arjuna, the Supreme Person and the Supreme Devotee, respectively. The Lord admitted Arjuna to be his devotee and friend, and therefore any sane man can guess what that discussion was on the topic of the Bhakti Yoga system. Actually, the whole Bhagavad Gita is based on the principle of Bhakti Yoga. There is a difference between karma and karma yoga. Karma is regulated action for the enjoyment of the fruit by the performer, but karma yoga is action performed by the devotee for the satisfaction of the Lord. Karma yoga is based on bhakti, or pleasing the Lord, whereas karma is based on pleasing the senses of the performer himself. According to Srimad Bhagavatam, one is advised to approach a bona fide spiritual master when one is actually inclined to question from an elevated level of spiritual understanding. A common man who has no interest in spiritual values has no need to approach a spiritual master just as a matter of following fashion. As a student, Maharaj Pariksit was serious about learning the science of God, and Shukadeva Goswami was a bona fide spiritual master in the transcendental science. Both of them knew that the topics discussed by Vidura and Rishi Maitreya were elevated, and thus Maharaj Pariksit was very interested in learning from the bona fide spiritual master. That's fine. Sri Sukhdev Goswami said, the great sage Shukadeva Goswami was highly experienced and was pleased with the king. Thus being questioned by the king, he said to him, please hear the topics attentively.
Sri Shukadeva Goswami said, King Dhritarashtra became blind under the influence of impious desires to nourish his dishonest sons. And thus he set fire to the lacquer house to burn his fatherless nephews, the Pandavas. Purport, Dhritarashtra was blind from birth, but his blindness in committing impious activities to support his dishonest sons was a greater blindness than his physical lack of eyesight. The physical lack of sight does not bar one from spiritual progress. But when one is blind spiritually, even though physically fit, that blindness is dangerously detrimental to the progressive path of human life. 6. The king did not forbid his son Dushasana's abominable action of grabbing the hair of Draupadi, the wife of the godly King Yudhishthira, even though her tears washed the red dust on her breast. Yudhishthira, who was born without any enemy, was unfairly defeated in gambling. But because he had taken the vow of truthfulness, he went off to the forest. When he came back in due course and begged the return of his rightful share of the kingdom, he was refused by Dhritarashtra, who was overwhelmed by illusion. Purport. Maharaj Yudhishthira was the rightful heir to his father's kingdom, but just to favor his own sons, headed by Duryodhan, Dhritarashtra, Maharaj Yudhishthira's uncle, adopted various unfair means to cheat his nephews of their rightful share of the kingdom. At last, the Pandavas demanded only 5 villages, one for each of the 5 brothers, but that was also refused by the usurpers. This incident led to the war of Kurukshetra. The battle of Kurukshetra, therefore, was induced by the Kurus and not the Pandavas. As Kshatriyas, the proper livelihood of the Pandavas was only to rule and not to accept any other occupation. A Brahmana, Kshatriya, or Vaishya will not accept employment for his livelihood under any circumstances. 9. Lord Krishna was sent by Arjuna into the assembly as the spiritual master of the whole world, and although his words were heard by some, like Bhishma, as pure nectar, it was not so for the others, who were completely bereft of the last farthing of past pious works. The king, Dhritarashtra, or Duryodhan, did not take the words of Lord Krishna very seriously. Purport. Lord Krishna, who is the spiritual master of the entire universe, accepted the duty of a messenger, and deputed by Arjun, went to the assembly of King Dhritarashtra on a peace mission. Krishna is everyone's lord, yet because he was the transcendental friend of Arjuna, he gladly accepted the role of messenger, exactly like an ordinary friend. That is the beauty of the Lord's behavior with his pure devotees. He reached the assembly and spoke about peace, and the message was relished by Bhishma and other great leaders because it was spoken by the Lord himself. But due to the exhaustion of the pious results of their past deeds, Duryodhana and his father, Dhritarashtra, did not take the message very seriously. That is the way of persons who have no credit of pious deeds. By past pious deeds, one may become the king of a country, but because the results of the pious acts of Duryodhan and company were dwindling, it became evident from their actions that they were sure to lose the kingdom to the Pandavas. The message of Godhead is always like nectar to the devotees, but it is just the opposite to the non-devotees. Sugar candy is always sweet to a healthy man, but it tastes very bitter to persons suffering from jaundice. 9. 10. When Vidura was invited by his elder brother, Dhritarashtra, for consultation, he entered the house and gave instructions which were exactly to the point. His advice is well known, and instructions by Vidura are approved by expert ministers of state. Purport, political suggestions by Vidura are known as expert, just as in modern times Pandit Chanakya is considered the authority in good counsel in both politics and moral instructions.
Text 11. Vidura said, you must now return the legitimate share to Yudhishthira, who has no enemies and who has been forbearing through untold sufferings due to your offenses. He is waiting with his younger brothers, among whom is the revengeful Bhima, breathing heavily like a snake. Surely you are afraid of him. Text 12. Lord Krishna, the personality of Godhead, has accepted the sons of Pritha as his kinsmen, and all the kings of the world are with Lord Sri Krishna. He is present in his home with all his family members, the kings and princes of the Yadu dynasty, who have conquered an unlimited number of rulers, and he is their lord. Purport. Vidura gave Dhritarashtra very good information regarding the political alliance with the Pandavas. The first thing he said, Lord Krishna was because Lord Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead, he is worshipable by all Brahmanas and demigods, who are the controllers of the universal affairs. Besides that, Lord Krishna and his family members, the royal order of the Yadu dynasty, were the conquerors of all kings of the world. The Kshatriyas used to fight the kings of various dominions and kidnap their beautiful princess daughters after conquering their relatives. This system was laudable because the Kshatriyas and the princesses would be married only on the basis of the chivalry of the conquering Kshatriyas. All the young princes of the Yadu dynasty married the daughters of other kings in this way by chivalrous force, and thus they were conquerors of all the kings of the world. Vidura wanted to impress upon his elder brother that fighting with the Pandavas was fraught with many dangers because they were supported by Lord Krishna, who had conquered, even in his childhood, demons like Kamsa, Jarasandha, and demigods like Brahma and Indra. Therefore, all universal power was behind the Pandavas. 13. You are maintaining offense personified, Duryodhana, as your infallible son. But he is envious of Lord Krishna. And because you are thus maintaining a non-devotee of Krishna, you are devoid of all auspicious qualities. Relieve yourself of this ill fortune as soon as possible and do good to the whole family. Purport. A good son is called apatya, one who does not allow his father to fall down. The son can protect the father's soul when the father is dead by offering sacrifices to please the Supreme Lord Vishnu. This system is still prevalent in India. After the death of his father, a son goes to offer sacrifices at the lotus feet of Vishnu at Gaya and thus delivers the father's soul if the father has fallen. But if the son is already an enemy of Vishnu, how in such an inimical mood can he offer sacrifice unto Lord Vishnu's lotus feet? Lord Krishna is directly the personality of Godhead, Vishnu, and Duryodhana was inimical to him. He would therefore be unable to protect his father, Dhritarashtra, after his death. He himself was to fall down because of his faithlessness towards Vishnu. How then could he protect his father? Vidura advised Dhritarashtra to get rid of such an unworthy son as Duryodhana as soon as possible if he was at all anxious to see to the good of his family. According to the moral instructions of Chanakya Pandit, what is the use of a son who is neither a learned man nor a devotee of the Lord? If a son is not a devotee of the Supreme Lord, he is just like blind eyes, a source of trouble. A physician may sometimes advise the extrication of such useless eyes from their sockets so that one can be relieved of the constant trouble. Duryodhana was exactly like blind, troubling eyes. He would be a source of great trouble to the family of Dhritarashtra, as foreseen by Vidura. Vidura therefore rightly advised his eldest brother to get rid of this source of trouble. Dhritarashtra was wrongly maintaining such personified offense under the mistaken impression that Duryodhana was a good son able to liberate his father. Text 14. While speaking thus, Vidura, whose personal character was esteemed by respectable persons, was insulted by Duryodhana, who was swollen with anger and whose lips were trembling. Duryodhana was in company with Karna, his younger brothers, and his maternal uncle, Shakuni. Purport. It is said that giving good counsel to a foolish person causes the fool to become angry, and just as feeding milk to a snake only increases its venomous poison. Saint Vidura was so honorable that his character was looked up to by all respectable persons. But Duryodhana was so foolish that he dared to insult Vidura. This was due to his bad association with Shakuni, his maternal uncle, as well as with his friend Karna, who always encouraged Duryodhana in his nefarious acts. Text 15. Who asked him to come here, this son of a kept mistress? He is so crooked that he spies in the interest of the enemy against those on whose support he has grown up. Toss him out of the palace immediately and leave him with only his breath. Purport. When getting married, the Kshatriya kings would take on several other youthful girls along with the married princesses. These girl attendants of the king were known as dasis, or attendant mistresses. By intimate association with the king, the dasis would get sons. Such sons were called dasi putras. They had no claim to a royal position, but they would get maintenance and other facilities just like princes. Vidura was the son of such a dasi, and he was thus not counted amongst the Kshatriyas. King Dhritarashtra was very affectionate toward his younger Dasiputra brother, Vidura. And Vidura was a great friend and philosophical advisor to Dhritarashtra. Duryodhana knew very well that Vidura was a great soul and well-wisher, but unfortunately, he used strong words to hurt his innocent uncle. Duryodhana was not only attacked Vidura's birth, but also called him an infidel because he seemed to support the cause of Yudhishthira, whom Duryodhana considered his enemy. He desired that Vidura be immediately put out of the palace and deprived of all his possessions. If possible, he would have liked him caned until he was left with nothing but his breath. He charged that Vidura was a spy of the Pandavas because he advised King Dhritarashtra in their favor. Such is the situation of palace life and the intricacies of diplomacy that even a faultless person like Vidura could be charged with something abominable and punished. Vidura was struck with wonder at such unexpected behavior from his nephew Duryodhana, and before anything actually happened, he decided to leave the palace for good.
Thus being pierced by arrows through his ears and afflicted to the core of his heart, Vidura placed his bow on the door and quit his brother's palace. He was not sorry, for he considered the acts of the external energy to be supreme. Purport. A pure devotee of the Lord is never perturbed by an awkward position created by the external energy of the Lord. In Bhagavad Gita 3:27 it is stated, Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvashaha ankara vimutatma kartaham iti manyate. A conditioned soul is absorbed in material existence under the influence of different modes of external energy. Absorbed in the false ego, he thinks that he is doing everything by himself. The external energy of the Lord, the material nature, is fully under the control of the Supreme Lord, and the conditioned soul is fully under the grip of the external energy. Therefore, the conditioned soul is fully under the control of the law of the Lord. But due to illusion only, he thinks himself independent in his activities. Duryodhana was acting under such influence of the external nature by which he would be vanquished at the ultimate end. He could not accept the sound advice of Vidura, but on the contrary, he insulted that great soul, who was the well-wisher of his whole family.
Vidura can understand this because he was a pure devotee of the Lord. In spite of being very strongly insulted by Duryodhana's words, Vidura could see that Duryodhana, under the influence of Maya, the external energy, was making progress on the path toward his own ruination. He therefore considered the acts of the external energy to be supreme, yet he also saw how the internal energy of the Lord helped him in that particular situation. A devotee is always in a renounced temperament because the world attractions can never satisfy him. Vidura was never attracted by the royal palace of his brother. He was always ready to leave the place and devote himself completely to the transcendent loving service of the Lord. Now he got the opportunity by the grace of Duryodhana, and instead of being sorry at the strong words of insult, he thanked him from within because it gave him the chance to live alone in a holy place and fully engage in the devotional service of the Lord. The word gata-vyata, without being sorry, is significant here because Vidura was relieved from the tribulations which trouble every man entangled in material activities. He therefore thought that there was no need to defend his brother with his bow because his brother was meant for ruination. Thus he left the palace before Duryodhan could act. Maya, the supreme energy of the Lord, acted here both internally and externally. 7. By his piety, Vidura achieved the advantages of the pious Kauravas. After leaving Hastinapura, he took shelter of many places of pilgrimages which are at the Lord's lotus feet. With a desire to gain a high order of pious life, he traveled to holy places where thousands of transcendental forms of the Lord are situated. Purport: Vidura was undoubtedly a highly elevated and pious soul. Otherwise, he would not have taken his birth in the Kaurava family. To have high parentage, to possess wealth, to be highly learned, and to have great personal beauty are all due to past pious acts. But such pious possessions are not sufficient for obtaining the grace of the Lord and being engaged in his transcendental loving service. Vidura considered himself less pious, and therefore he decided to travel to all the great places of pilgrimage in the world in order to achieve greater piety and advance nearer to the Lord. At that time, Lord Krishna was personally present in the world, and Vidura could have at once approached him directly, but he did not do so because he was not sufficiently freed from sin. One cannot be 100% devoted to the Lord unless and until he is completely free from all effects of sin. Vidura was conscious that by association of the diplomatic Dhritarashtra and Duryodhan, he had lost his piety and was therefore not fit to associate at once with the Lord. In Bhagavad Gita 7:28, this verse confirms. This is confirmed in the following verse: Yesham tvantakatam papam jananam punyakarmanam te dvandva mohanir mukta bhajante mam dridavrata. Persons who are sinful asuras like Kamsa and Jarasandha cannot think of Lord Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Absolute Truth. Only those who are pure devotees, those who follow the regulative principles of religious life as prescribed in the scriptures, are able to engage themselves in karma yoga and then jnana yoga, and thereafter by pure meditation can understand pure consciousness. When God consciousness is developed, one can take advantage of the association of pure devotees. Syan mahat sevaya vipra punya tirtana shevana. One is able to associate with the Lord even during allow us the facility of seeing him in his archamurtis in the temple. The Lord is all-powerful, and therefore he is able to accept our service by presentation of his archa form. No one, therefore, should foolishly think the archa in the temple to be an idol. Such an archamurti is not an idol, but the Lord himself. And to the proportion to which one is free from sins, he is able to know the significance of the archamurti. The guidance of the pure devotee is therefore always required. In the land of Bharatvarsha, there are many hundreds and thousands of places of pilgrimage distributed all over the country, and by traditional practice, the common man visits such holy places during all seasons of the year. Some of the archa representations of the Lord situated in different places of pilgrimage are mentioned herewith. The Lord is present at Mathura, the birthplace of Lord Krishna, as Adikeshava. The Lord is present at Puri, Orissa, as Lord Jagannath, also known as Purushottam. He is present at Allahabad, Prayag, as Bindu Madhava. At Mandra Hill, he is present as Madhusudana. Sarvatra Prakasha Tandra Bhakte Sukadite Jagatera Adharma Nashi Dharma Stapite. The Lord has so distributed himself all over the universe just to give pleasure to the devotees, to give the common man facility to eradicate his sins and to establish religious principles in the world. Text 18. He began to travel alone, thinking only of Krishna, through various holy places like Ayodhya, Dwaraka, and Mathura. He traveled where the air, hill, orchard, river, and lake are all pure and sinless, and where the forms of the unlimited decorate the temples. Thus he performed the pilgrim's progress. Purport. These archa forms of the Lord may be considered idols by the atheists, but that does not matter for persons like Vidura or his many other servants. The forms of the Lord are mentioned here as Anantalinga. Such forms of the Lord have unlimited potency, the same as that of the Lord himself. There is no difference between the potencies of archa and those of the personal forms of the Lord. The example of the post box and the post office may be applied here. The little post boxes distributed all over the city have the same potency as the postal system in general. The duty of the post office is to carry letters from one place to another. If one puts letters in post boxes authorized by the general post office, the function of carrying letters is performed without a doubt. Similarly, the Archamurti can also deliver the same unlimited potency of the Lord as when he is personally present. Vidura, therefore, could see nothing but Krishna in the different archa forms, and ultimately he was able to realize Krishna alone and nothing else. While traversing the earth, he simply performed duties to please the Supreme Lord Hari. His occupation was pure and independent. He was constantly sanctified by his taking bath in holy places, although he was in the dress of a mendicant and had no hair dressing nor a bed on which to lie. Thus, he was always unseen by his various relatives. Purport. The first and foremost duty of a pilgrim is to satisfy the Supreme Lord Hari. While traveling as a pilgrim, one should not be worried about pleasing society. There is no need to depend on social formalities or occupation or dress. One should remain always absorbed in the function of pleasing the Lord. Thus sanctified by thought and action, one is able to realize the Supreme Lord by the process of a pilgrim's journey. So poetical. I wonder if there's any comments before we go into the next set of 10. Oh, I haven't done, I have one more to go, huh? Okay. Thus, 20. Thus, when he was in the land of Bharatavarsha, traveling to all the places of pilgrimage, he visited Prabhasa Kshetra. At that time, Maharaj Yudhishthira was the emperor and held the world under one military strength and one flag. Purport. More than 5,000 years ago, while Saint Vidura was traveling the earth as a pilgrim, India was known as Bharatavarsha, as it is known even today. The history of the world cannot give any systematic account for more than 3,000 years into the past, but before that, the whole world was under the flag of military strength of Maharaj Yudhishthira, who was the emperor of the world. At present, there are hundreds and thousands of flags flapping in the United Nations, but during the time of Vidura, there was, by the grace of Ajita, Lord Krishna, only one flag. The nations of the world are very eager to again have one state under one flag, but for this, they must seek the favor of Lord Krishna, who alone can help us become one worldwide nation. reflections? Yes.
I quite like 19.
19.
Yeah, because here Srila Prabhupada is speaking about social formalities, society. When I come here, and I have the others in Delhi, I didn't even tell them that I'm coming.
They're watching on the internet now.
This is nice.
I was thinking, it's a little bit on the same lines, and that was how nasty Duryodhana was. You know, it's described that he was so envious that he couldn't tolerate to have anything
over his head. Even, the signs of the royal, insignias, the umbrella, he couldn't stand to have anything over his head. And the other thing was that a person like that, when he's given good advice, he just gets angry. So, you know, maybe you can tell a little bit about the nature of a person if you give him good advice and he gets angry.
I also like to point out how Vidura, he wanted to do devotional service, but as soon as he saw an opening, he took it. And you know, he externally didn't show it, but internally he was very thankful
that happened. Yeah. And how he laid his bow at the doorway and then left, you know.
Yeah, those scenes when devotees break away. There's another one that I always appreciate, which is when Sanatana Goswami finally gets free by the last coin of gold and tells Isha to go back. And then he's off on his own.
Yeah.
He knows he's going to go to China and he has nothing left behind him. He feels joy in his heart.
Yeah.
I like the whole section a lot. But especially this point kind of struck me where Prabhupada is saying that Vidura wasn't sufficiently purified. So, I mean, he's a pure devotee, but by the power of bad association, he kind of temporarily got, what's the right English word? No, more like, compromised by the association of Duryodhana and Dhritarashtra and company, that even though he was a pure devotee, he momentarily was not capable of approaching the Supreme Lord directly and spending time with him, even though Krishna was right there. So he still had to...
That's connected with how Bhishma... ...perfectly than to do the duty of another person perfectly. So Bhishma and also Vidura. Because Vidura, there was also a background situation that he was cursed. He had to come to, you know, to be a Shudrani. Shudrani, is it?
What is the word?
Shudra.
I know, but you were supposed to be a Shudra. Come from a Shudrani, yeah. So, you know, that was one reason why he had this little tinge of something to work out. Because he was Yamaraj. You know, Yamaraj is, I think that's one of the biggies among the demigods.
There's a similar parallel with Rupa and Sanatana, because you were thinking that? They also felt compromised, and they hate that stature of were untouchable, because they had associated with the Muslim society. Can be a great asset, actually, to rather than think that one's the purebred top of the line, thinking that actually I'm unworthy, I'm from bad stock, and not only that, I had bad association, keep oneself humble.
Subhuti Roy also just took off.
Yeah.
On pleading that card. And just...
Yeah.
Was it Bhishmadev who waited for passing away because he felt he still had some of that residue from either the food that he ate or something that was associated to Dhritarashtra and company. So that's why he prolonged his wait also to see the Pandavas installed and Krishna.
Well, according to the Bhagavatam, he was waiting to see Krishna face to face.
Yeah.
And Krishna kept him in that position, although he had that benediction that he could leave whenever he wanted from his father, Shaitanya Maharaj. But he was waiting to see Krishna face to face before he left. He could have left whenever he wanted. And another thing was that Yudhishthira felt very bad. He felt worse than Arjun did in the beginning of Battle of Kshetrata, because that was then 640 million people were killed on his behalf, he was thinking, on his own behalf. So he felt very bad about that. All those women, you know, widowed, and the disturbance to the social order, and the, you know, all the things that started to happen that weren't happening before in terms of, you know, bad births and all those things.
At the place of pilgrimage, at Prabhas, he came to his knowledge that all his relatives had died due to violent passion, just as an entire forest burns due to fire produced by the friction of bamboos. After this, he proceeded west, where the river Saraswati flows. Purport. Both the Kauravas and the Yadavas were relatives of Vidura, and Vidura heard of their extinction due to fratricidal war. The comparison of the friction of forest bamboos to that of passionate human societies is appropriate. The whole world is compared to a forest. At any moment, only by the water of the mercy cloud of saints, just as a forest fire can be extinguished only by rains falling from a cloud. 22. On the bank of the river Saraswati, there were 11 places of pilgrimage, named Trita, 2, Ushana, 3, Manu, 4, Prithu, 5, Agni, 6, Asita, 7, Vayu, 8, Sudasa, 9, Go, 10, Guha, and 11, Shadadev. Vidura visited all of them and duly performed rituals. 23. There were also many other temples of various forms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu, established by great sages and demigods. These temples were from the moon planet and upwards, were known as devas. Both the Dvija devas and the devas always established temples of Lord Vishnu in his various forms, such as Govinda, Madhusudana, Nrisinga, Madhava, Keshava, Narayana, Padmanabha, Parthasarathi, and many others. The Lord expands himself in innumerable forms. All of them are non-different from one another. Lord Vishnu has four hands, and each hand holds a particular item, either a conch shell, wheel, club, or lotus flower. Of these four emblems, the chakra, or wheel, is the chief. Lord Krishna, being the original Vishnu form, has only one emblem, namely the wheel, and therefore he is sometimes called Chakri. The Lord's chakra is the symbol of the power of which the Lord controls the whole manifestation. The tops of Vishnu temples are marked with the symbol of the wheel, so that people may have the chance to see the symbol from a very long distance and at once remember Lord Krishna. The purpose of building very high temples is to give people a chance to see them from a distant place. This system is carried on in India whenever a new temple is constructed, and it appears that it is coming down from a time before recorded history. The foolish propaganda by atheists that temples were constructed only in later days is refuted here, because Vidura visited these temples at least 5,000 years ago, and the temples of Vishnu were in existence long, long before Vidura visited them. The great sages and demigods never established statues of men or demigods, but they established temples of Vishnu for the benefit of common men, to raise them to the platform of God consciousness. Text 24. Thereafter, he passed through very wealthy provinces like Surat, Survira, and Matsya, and through western India, known as Kuru Jangala. At last, he reached the bank of the Jamuna, where he happened to meet Uddhava, the great devotee of Lord Krishna. Purport. The tract of land comprising 100 square miles from modern Delhi to the Mathura district in Uttar Pradesh, including a portion of the Gurgaon district in eastern Punjab, is considered to be the topmost place for pilgrimage in all of India. This land is sacred because Lord Krishna traveled through it many times. From the very beginning of his appearance, he was in Mathura, in the house of his maternal uncle Kamsa, and he was reared by his foster father Maharaj Nanda at Vrindavan. There were still many devotees of the Lord lingering there in ecstasy in search of Krishna and his childhood associates, the gopis. It is not that such devotees meet Krishna face to face in that tract of land, but a devotee's eagerly searching after Krishna is as good as his seeing him personally. How this is so cannot be explained, but it is factually realized by those who are pure devotees. The Lord see him face to face at every moment, as confirmed in the Brahma Samhita. Premanjana chudita bhakti vilochanina santaksadaiva hridayeshu vilokayanti yam shama sundaram achintya gunasvarupam govindam adi purusham tamaham bhajami. Those who were in ecstasy of love with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Shamasundar, Krishna, see him always in their hearts due to love and devotional service rendered to the Lord. Both Vidura and Uddhava were such elevated devotees, and therefore they both came to the bank of the Jamuna and met each other. Text 25. Then, due to his great love and feeling, Vidura embraced him, Uddhava, who was a constant companion of Lord Krishna and formerly a great student of Brihaspati's. Vidura then asked him for news of the family of Lord Krishna, the Personality of Godhead. Purport. Vidura was older than Uddhava, like a father, and therefore when the two met, Uddhava bowed down before Vidura, and Vidura embraced him, because Uddhava was younger, like a son. Vidura's brother Pandu was Lord Krishna's uncle, and Uddhava was a cousin to Lord Krishna. According to social custom, therefore, Vidura was to be respected by Uddhava on the level of his father. Uddhava was a great scholar in logic, and he was known to be a son or disciple of Brihaspati, the greatly learned priest and spiritual master of the demigods. Vidura asked Uddhava about the welfare of his relatives, although he already knew that they were no longer in the world. This inquiry appears to be very queer, but Srila Jiva Goswami states that the news was shocking to Vidura, who therefore inquired again due to great curiosity. Thus his inquiry was psychological and not practical.
Gayatri Bank will be back at 10 minutes to 1 o'clock. 7 minutes for Gayatri.
That's right on the money.
That is practical and not psychological.
I'm not psychological. I'm turning the sound off now.
Nachari Armarman, Nachari Armarman, Nachari Armarman, Nachari Armarman, hey! Nachari Armarman, Nachari Armarman, Nachari Armarman, Nachari Armarman.